We're back with more of Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Bonnie North. If you love comedy, it is a great weekend to be in town. It's the 12th anniversary of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. And if you're a fan of the wet, hot American summer film and Netflix series, well, it gets even better. Not only did the new season just start streaming, but one of its stars, Michael Ian Black, will close the festival on Sunday.
Black is perhaps best known for his iconic work on MTV's The State, Stella, and as a commentator on the popular I Love the 80s, 90s, etc. series. And in addition to Wet Hot American Summer, he's currently in TV Land's The Gaffigan Show and Comedy Central's Another Period. And if that weren't enough, Black is also a prolific writer, director, producer, and podcaster.
But despite having over 20 years of experience as a comedian, Black is relatively new to the world of stand-up. He took it on as a challenge to himself more recently, though, and now has three comedy specials. Here's a clip from his most recent called Noted Expert.
I had to learn how to speak my wife's language because she only speaks in Zen riddles. Like the riddles that Zen masters give to their disciples, that's how my wife speaks to me. You know, like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? That's like a good example of like a Zen riddle. I don't know what the answer to that is, and I don't want to think about it. Here's an example of a Zen riddle that my wife gave to me. We're eating dinner, we finish dinner, push back from the table, my wife turns to me and says, "Why did you let me eat so much?" And when she said that, I knew there was no good answer to that question.
Michael Ian Black recently spoke with WUWM's Rachel Owens and Milwaukee Comedy's Matt Kemple about his past experiences in Milwaukee and why he decided to focus on stand-up.
I've been a huge fan of yours from the years of The State and everything you've done since. I absolutely love your sense of humor. You are an intelligent guy, but a lot of your humor, if you don't mind me saying, is sort of dumb.
Dumb?
Yeah. And that's what I really love about it is you can take a funny situation and you can heighten it and bring it to the point of absurdity. And I'm just a little curious about what your writing process is like and, you know, how some of those ideas come about.
Well, there's a lot of gnashing of teeth. There's a lot of writing down half-baked notions, trying them out on stage, in the case of stand-up, having them fail miserably, and then starting over again. It's a lot of trial and error. One of the funny things is that I don't know what's funny most of the time. Everything strikes me as a little bit off-kilter, which makes me think I must be the one that's off-kilter. And so I feel like I'm perpetually in a state of making observations to myself about things that just don't translate to the world. And so it's a constant source of struggle and creativity to refine those things to a place where the thing that I'm trying to articulate is something that people are understanding and hopefully recognizing.
Your stand-up career is fairly new as far as your comedy path.
You know,
what kind of led you to starting the path of stand-up comedy versus, you know, all the other projects you've done?
It was a combination of factors. The first was a deep admiration for the craft of stand-up comedy. And the second was a deep fear of performing stand-up comedy myself. And the third, the thing that tipped me over, was that I started getting offers to do stand-up comedy for money. And because I like money above all else, I thought, well, if I'm going to do it, now would be the time to dive in. And so, almost as a challenge to myself, I started doing it. And I've enjoyed it a lot.
And it's interesting because stand-up is so different from a sketch environment. You have a huge group of people that you're collaborating with, and with stand-up, you're just kind of up there having to do your thing. And like you say, a lot of times it fails miserably, but then
you learn from that. I did not mean to imply.
I meant my stand-up career.
Oh, your stand-up is terrible.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst. Is the writing for stand-up a lot different process for you versus like when you're working on a movie like Wet Hot American Summer or sketches with Stella?
Is it different? It is and it isn't. It's different in the sense that obviously the presentation is different. The tempo is different. The way things are framed are different. But underneath it, the architecture is essentially the same. You're trying to create a premise and then explore the premise and take people along a ride and be constantly trying to surprise them, because that's where the joke is the surprise. So, yeah, they're different, but at their base, I would say they probably have more in common than what separates them.
And something I found really interesting, you say that writing books for kids of a younger age is not that much different from writing sketch comedy. So I'd love you to talk a little bit more about that, where you think that crossover is.
It's a one-to-one. I mean, to me, they're nearly identical. A good children's book, at least what I like in a children's book, and I'm specifically talking about the kind of funny books that I write that really have no educational merit whatsoever. It's the exact same thing. So an example is, one of my books is called A Pig Parade is a Terrible Idea. So that's the premise right there. If you're thinking about holding a pig parade, let me enumerate all the reasons why it's a terrible idea. So there's the premise, and then I just explore the concept in the book. And they're similar to a sketch because they're short form. They have a kind of quick setup and a quick beginning, middle, and hopefully a satisfactory ending. Those are the exact same ingredients that you have in a sketch.
I was listening to the WTF podcast with Marc Maron that you did most recently. At first, he didn't really take you seriously as a stand-up, thinking this guy's coming from TV. He's got all that kind of background. What is he doing coming into our world? Do you feel like it's that much of a difference, really? Because it seems like writing has always been, in one way or another, at the core of your career. Or do you really feel like it has been something you've had to kind of work into?
Both. Writing has been at the core of my career, and learning to write for stand-up has been something that I've had to learn to work into. And, by the way, still very much learning. I'm constantly trying to refine who I am as a stand-up. I think it's a question that every stand-up struggles with. What is my distinct point of view that makes me different from every other stand-up that's out there? How is the joke that I'm telling a joke that only I could tell? That's, to me, the critical question for when I'm watching stand-up, whether I respond to the person I'm watching. Does this material feel unique to that person, or is this something that I could see half a dozen other comics do? And that's what I respond to as an audience member, and it's what I try to bring to my own work.
So what really makes you laugh? What kinds of movies or other comics do you just have that level of respect for, that humor?
One of the unfortunate byproducts of being a stand-up or a comedian in general is that you stop laughing at things. What I think replaces it instead is a kind of deep appreciation for the craft of what you're seeing. So there's a lot of people in comedy that I have that appreciation for. The first one that comes to mind is Will Ferrell, who always makes me laugh, mostly just because of his just fierce and sincere commitment to whatever stupid thing he's doing. And he just does the stupidest things with such sincerity that it really, really pleases me. I'm just a fan of the unexpected twist and going the place that I never expected to go. Any performer who can do that for me, I just really admire.
I mean, that's what's incredible about your work is
you've been able
to accomplish
that.
That
is what is incredible about me. Yes. Yes.
It is incredible. Like, one thing that's fascinating to me is, over the years, you've worked with Michael Showalter and David Waite on a number of different projects. And it would be easy for different comedy teams to basically just keep recreating the same show and give it different names. But that's not really what you guys have done. You have these distinct projects that you work on, and each one is absurd and ridiculous and kind of stupid, but brilliant and funny and amazing in different ways. Working with those people, is it something that just, it's so easy to bounce ideas off of, and you have a similar sense of humor, or was it something else?
With those two guys specifically, it was a direct result of just working on the show that you mentioned, The State, mm-hmm. together. That was a sketch comedy group that we founded, group of us of 11, founded in college. We went on to have our own television show on MTV. And we all worked really well together. I mean, when we weren't tearing each other's throats out. But the specific collaboration of myself, Michael Showalter, and David Wayne came about more or less as a function of geography. Because after The State ended, a lot of us ended up going to Los Angeles. And me, Michael, and David were, for a while, the only guys kind of left in New York. And so we created a night of stand-up together called Stella, which eventually became its own television show and its own kind of brand. And they wrote Wet Hot American Summer together, a movie that I was in. And we've done various projects throughout the years. But it really started more or less as a function of geography. In terms of whether it is easy deeper to work with people that you've had a long relationship with? Obviously, yes, in some ways, because we do have a extended shorthand that goes back 20, 25 years. On the other hand, there are ways that each of us have grown and our interests have shifted over the years that it can make it remarkably difficult at times to collaborate because our own senses of humor have diverged somewhat. And so just as I'm sort of always refining who I am as a stand-up, I think that collaboration is always refining itself in terms of where the overlap in terms of sensibility, where does that sensibility remain?
Do you ever have moments where it feels stale?
Yeah, I wouldn't say stale, because if something feels stale, it feels like a problem that can be solved. If something doesn't feel fresh, it feels like, okay, that's a moment, or that's a scene, or that's a character, or that's whatever, that needs to be taken in a different direction. What's difficult is agreeing on what direction or what the solution to that problem is. And, you know, we're forever banging our own heads against the wall and banging each other's heads into the wall to try to find those solutions. I think the thing that has always sustained not only the three of us, but the larger group of 11 called the State, is the impetus and desire to make each other laugh. And if we can do that, I think we all trust that we're on the right path.
Interesting what you're talking about sensibility, because you were speaking again with Mark Maron in that podcast about how you enjoy finding the line between the character that you play on stage and who you really are. You're perhaps becoming more comfortable with the real you being on stage, yet you still want to keep a little bit of mystery up there about where that line may be, where that line blurs. But what's interesting is you're such a great writer, and when I heard, for example, your essay on This American Life telling the story about when your father passed away, things like that are just so real and visceral. You're putting it out there, how you feel and who you are. With that kind of intimate material out there, do you feel like it is possible to kind of keep that air of mystery, or are you just more comfortable with that?
Both. I had a conversation with David Sedaris about this once, because he really lays everything out there. I mean, he wears, you know, his heart on his sleeve, and he writes these extended books about his real, true personal life, obviously filled with jokes. I agreed with what he said, and I'm going to probably mangle it entirely. But what he basically said when asked about this is that he's not revealing anything in a weird way, that reciting the facts or reciting the narrative of an experience or revealing intimate moments in your life, it feels and can feel, I think, very, well, intimate, I guess. It feels like you really know that person. And I certainly felt like I knew David Sedaris when I met him. But at the same time, as somebody who does that for a living, who puts all that stuff out there, I know that what you're left with as a viewer or as a reader is a very carefully cultivated narrative that I've created. It's not to say it's false, and it's not to say that I'm not being as sincere as I can be, or the jokes aren't true to the extent that any joke is true, but that you can't appreciate the entirety of somebody, or you can't appreciate the entirety of even the moment that they're talking about without having a real kind of intimacy with that person that you can't achieve through a book or through a film or through a stand-up performance. All any artist can do, I think, even when they want to be as forthcoming as possible, is edit those experiences to the best of their ability and hope that some part of it translates to a kind of shared experience that we all have, because ultimately that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a connection, not for a revelation about yourself.
Would you mind talking about Wet Hot American Summer?
Yes. What do you want to know?
I've been a fan of that movie for years. I really enjoyed the series about First Day of Camp, and I'm ecstatic to see that 10 years later is coming out. There's such an enormous amount of talent. The writing is phenomenal, and it's just such a fun premise, and I feel like it's one of those things where there's always a character that we could all relate to in a way, and I'm just curious if you have any thoughts on the experience.
Wet Hot's a really good example of comic camaraderie that a lot of people in my business really strive for, because it's really just about a bunch of people who like each other coming together and trying to make each other laugh. And it's really not much more complicated than that. So when we're showing up to do it, it's really just about trying to appeal to the sensibilities of the people that you're surrounding yourself with and hoping that there's a larger audience out there that will find the same things funny that you find funny.
There's at least me, so you got that.
So that's one.
Yeah, congratulations.
That's one. Thank you. I feel great about that.
There's one more thing I wanted to touch upon, because I feel like you're one of these comedians that nowadays people are going to not just for the humor, but also to just get a reality check. I feel like you're helping us to digest what's going on in the world around us right now. Do you see it that way, or is it just a continuum of your work?
I think every comedian since this election has struggled with what is my role right now, because the American population, as best as I can tell, is very concerned. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, I think we all feel the kind of world shifting under our feet a little bit. Maybe you like that, maybe you don't. But I have felt like my job is not to change anybody's mind, because I don't think it's possible. I'm not that good. But what I think I can do is make people feel like they're not crazy, to get on a stage and say, hey, this is all bananas. And if you feel like it's bananas, you're right. It's bananas. And try to do that with as much levity as I possibly can. And then the trick is, well, how do I do that in a way that is unique to me and isn't just kind of generic political comedy? And it's been a struggle. Gosh, your audience there in Milwaukee is going to be delighted to come see how I have resolved those questions for myself. I mean, this is a real cliffhanger moment for this interview. How will he do it? How will he manage to navigate this tricky political environment we are in a way that leaves us doubled over with laughter? I mean, you'll just have to come and see.
Michael Ian Black, thank you so much for your time today. We really look forward to seeing you this weekend in Milwaukee.
Me too. Now all I have to do is write an hour worth of material.
Hey, easy.
Thanks again. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Comedian Michael Ian Black spoke with WUWM's Rachel Owens and Milwaukee Comedy's Matt Kemple. You can see Black reprising his role as McKinley in the second season of Wet Hot American Summer, which has just been released on Netflix.
You can also see him live at Turner Hall Ballroom Sunday night at 8 as he closes out the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. You can find the complete show information at WUWM.com.